Mr. Painting, reel 11. You were describing what happened in the morning when you woke up in solitary confinement.
In the morning, the Germans come over in the morning and escorted me out for the purpose, the bucket for the purpose of nature, you see. Escorted me out to empty the bucket and have a wash. And then I was taken back, when that was over, I was taken back into the cell. While I was away doing that, my bowl of water for drinking was filled up, and my ration for the day of bread, which was a piece of bread 4 inches long and 2 inches square, German black bread. That was my ration for the day, a bowl of water and this piece of bread. That was put in there from the cookhouse. Well, Rathmann Walters, who I had a box with, the boxer, he was working in the cookhouse, and he thought, oh, I'll look after him. He got a bit of German sausage and put it in my cell, you see, because it brought the food over, put it underneath this wooden pillow. Well, the sausage was missed from the cookhouse. Oh, and there was a proper scare there. I was accused of stealing it. Found, you see, there. I know nothing. I was accused of stealing it. I said, I know nothing about it. I said, I was out under escort all the time. I said, didn't know anything about this. Anyway, I lost the sausage, and they suspected the rifleman, but they couldn't prove anything against him, you see. So he got away with it, and I didn't get my sausage that he intended me to have. Well, that was the routine each day, you see, in the old black cell there. In the morning, cold, you know, I tell you, you get cold and hard and stiff, and you knew what was happening, you know, by the sounds in camp, you see. You didn't know what the time, well, you know the time, you see, when they went out to work or and that, and the sounds around the camp. And after I'd done my 72 hours dead, I was released dead on the 72 hours, 7 o'clock at night. I got back to the lads in the compound. Come and have a drink of coffee here, come and have a drink of cocoa here, you know, come and join in with it. So I made quite a fuss, obviously, having been in solitary confinement. I never forgot it. Oh dear, oh dear. Experience.
But was it, did you find that it was just for 72 hours a little bit pleasant to be on your own, or was it very, very unpleasant?
Oh, well, being shut up in the dark cell, you see, I mean, there wasn't much pleasure about it. A little tiny bit of light came through, but, you know, practically speaking, it was dark, and you knew the time of the day. You'd sit there and think about all sorts of things. You'd have a little walk up and down your cell, you know, just to break the monotony kind of business. Lying on wooden board all the time, you get as stiff as a board itself, you see. So you'd do that and have a wander around and sing some of the soldier ditties that you thought of, you know, or look over your life a bit, just pass the time away. We've got to do something, you see, and you knew the more or less an idea of the time, but what's happening in the camp, you see, when they went out and when they came back, or the sounds in the camp during the daytime. Of course, night time it was quiet, except for the sentries round about, and they didn't make much noise. However, it was, I have to look back on it, it was an experience. Well, the old prison rewards, an experience, really. It makes you appreciate things. Well, that was it. Then we had, and in that camp, so you used to go to work, and I talked to the old under officer who was in charge, and he was quite a decent chap. He'd fought against been in active service and was on duty because he was wounded, you see. And he had one soldier to another. And I used to talk to him, and I'd say, well, Jerry, which is the way to Denmark? Over that way. I'd say, what do you say in Denmark for so-and-so? So-and-so. I said, you know, one of these days you'll find me missing. He said, no, you won't, you're quite comfortable. It was really a good little camp. He said, no, he said, you're all right here. I said, no, I said, I'm off. And tell you, the work that we were doing, we were making these drainage, draining the land. And that, and it was about 3 miles out of camp, marched out there, back again at night. Well, there was another party. I was going off on my own, but Sergeant Taylor, he came, he said, well, he said, "You're an officer, what about the two of us? We should be company for each other." So I said, "Right." Well, we made our plans, and the camp had this 10-foot belt of barbed wire around it, 10-foot high and 10-foot thick. We hadn't got any wire cutters, but we got a little file, filing the wire. And at 9 o'clock at night, after we were all supposed to be in the bed, we got out and crawled through the mud. You couldn't walk, otherwise the sentry would have seen you. Crawled out onto the mud there and got to the wire, got through the lot. And after 3 hours, through the storm and the rain, I'd got to the outer wire, and I was falling on the outer wire. And I don't know whether the file, the vibration, attracted the sentry's attention farther up. I thought, that's not the wind signs, it was probably too regular or something like that, you see. And he came walking down on the gravel. And of course, I heard him. So I had the sense of to hold the wire to stop it from pinging. If I'd let go of the wire, it would have pinged. But I kept the grip on the wire so it didn't vibrate and ping. Well, I suppose he must have been satisfied. He went back. Well, this was 12 o'clock at night. We were wet through to the skin. So we packed up that attempt. Crawled back into the hut. We had other clothes, you see. I got into that, went out to work as usual the next day. Well, then we thought we'd try.
Did the Germans spot that some of the wire had been filed through the next morning?
Inside, you see, they didn't bother much about the inside wire, you see. It was the outer wire, you see. Mm-hmm. And going through a maze of it, they'd have a job to see it in the, you know. Yes. Of course, curled up and that. The job to get through it, I mean, taking 3 hours to get through 10 foot of wire.
Yes.
With a curl and that, you see. And filing. However, of course, there was one thing, the grass was beaten down, but that would probably put down to the heavy storm.
Mm. Yes.
Of course, the grass had grown up in between the wires. But that the storm had beaten that down. However, we went back, well, and then we thought we'd try and get out in a bright arc light. But that was no good. So, as I said, different riflemen, different private soldiers were employed on different jobs, you see. Some were employed on lamping, attending to the acetylene lamps that were all around the camp, illumination, and in the guards' quarters, and also fatigue men in the guards' cookhouse. They were, you know, potato peelers, cabbage peelers, scrubbers, and all that kind of thing. Well, one lad who was employed on lamps, and a fellow who was employed in the guards' cookhouse came to me and said, "Here, Tom," he said, "you've had a try to get out." I said, "Well, we've got passes to get out of the camp, you know, to go and do our work. And the sentries have got used to us more or less. So," they said, "you might probably be able to get out." "Well," I said, "Sergeant Taylor and I have had a couple of goes of trying out the camp. We can't get out the wire." I said, "And I couldn't leave him." I said, "We'll have to go out in pair." I said, "One of us go out with one of you, and you know, work as spruce it." So I discussed the plan of campaign. One was to go out. Meredith and his men were to go out, deal with the lamps a certain time, then come back again. You see, Meredith was to come back, spruce, and just hoodwinking the sentry, take Sergeant Taylor out with him. open at the stretch he would, you know, just not notice him, just spruce him. And I'd selected the rendezvous where we were to go and the way we were to make for it, which was about in a little fir copse about 400 yards from camp, and the way each one was to go. So Taylor and Meredith went out. That was okay. They did their job. Well, Jaggers of the Queens, he came into camp to get some potatoes, which I got from the cookhouse, and helped him wash them and carried them out. We had civilian clothes underneath our uniform, except a civvy jacket carried out over arm. Couldn't put that under a uniform jacket. So Meredith and Jagger, they had no uniform. They, I suppose, the Germans had issued, and their uniform was worn out. So we got there, and I went out with Jaggers, helped him carry this potato into the guard's cookhouse. From there, I had to dip from there into an outbuilding. And my route that I took went past the German latrines into across a flat field about 200 yards long and run into a little stream, you know, a ditch. So I had to wait in this outbuilding until anybody who was over there had a chance to do what they wanted and got back again. You see, chance my arm that way. And the ground was frozen. Right, well, I crawled along there like a serpent on this flat as a pancake all the way into this water, up to knees in water, made my way to a rendezvous and found the others there. Well, we then set off across country and we ran some miles when we discarded our khaki uniforms. And it was very frosty, but the frost was ice on the water, ice on the ground we were working on, but it wasn't thick enough to bear you. Every time you put your foot in the ice, cracked, you pull your foot out, you wet yourself through. Well, then when you'd gone about 7 miles, we went up a ridge, a little bit of high ground. We turned around, had a look at the camp, see it all illuminated. The other side of that ridge, there was a river. We had to wade through the river up to our neck. The next thing, well, we carried on then following the North Star. Keep the North Star right, just a little tiny bit right-handed, we could see it. And we kept going until dawn came, and we got hung up by a sluggish river and a wood. So we went and lay in this wood, covered up, shivering, laying up close together, you know, wet through to the skin and frosted. And we laid in this wood huddled up together, and we heard some Germans coming there, getting wood, brushwood and that kind of thing, you see. But fortunately, they didn't discover us. We lay there all day, and at night when dusk came, off we went again. Got carried on over this down this river. Got through it, paddled through it, and lived off my little bit of concentrated food, all it's more than that, and the oxo made us a little bit dry, which we sucked the ice so that you've got something in your throat, you see. Then we went down this river, crossed it, got along another cross country again, and then come to another sluggish river, walked down there. Jagger couldn't swim, so we had to either walk through them or do something, you see. He couldn't swim them, so we went down the side of this river, got onto the road and walked into a German sentry. Midnight, beautiful moonlight night. So he said guten Nacht to us, and we said guten Nacht in our best guttural German. Well, he went on. Well, that you know, give us a warning, you see. Hello, there's a sentry about here somewhere. So we lay in a ditch, and two more sentries came down. They were
house over there, which was illuminated, we could see where they're going to, which was like the guard room headquarters, the frontier post. And bright moonlight night, and up a ridge, and the sentry was a sentry every 100 meters. We see them walking about in the moonlight, so we, one sentry, when he got to the end of his beat, he stopped and had a chat to the other fella. That made a gap of 200 metres. So we said, well, that's the place for us. So did halfway up this slope first, chances in the moonlight, lay doggo again, and when he did the next journey, up through there, through the wire, we didn't know how much. Well, it was only a thin belt of barbed wire, like you might see in a field, nothing really. But of course we didn't know whether that was the frontier, whether it was electrified or what it was, you see. Anyway, we got through this barbed wire easily and got through, and long grass the other side, about 10 yards or so the other side of the wire, we're laying this grass. And let the sentry come back again, do his job. Well, when he went up again next time, off we went again. We got up and went, you see. Well, after we've been going some distance, we come to a main road. And it on this main road, it said, Frat Reeb, Till Caldin. Well, of course, that was in, it wasn't in German character. See, German would have been run a neck. Fra and Till, so that was a milestone. Now, when we went along the road and we examined the characters on the telegraph posts, well, they weren't in German. So they said, well, you could hardly believe it, that was the only obstacle we've got to get over. Anyway, we wasn't going to chance it, so we kept across country in the daylight, and we got to